Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here. You ever made a dumb decision, a stupid decision, if I say so? Come on, I think we all have. And you and I can decide, but we're not always around to determine what the outcome of that decision will be. And that's why making decisions really is a big deal. It's one of the first steps in what we call intentional living. It's being intentional, and then the living part is making the right decisions that will honor God, benefit you. We're going to talk about decisions today from intentional living, help you today to think through maybe a decision you're trying to make or trying to maybe clean up one you've already made. It's not working well for you as a follower of Christ. We're going to give you some really practical, basic things today from Scripture. We're going to hear callers coming in telling us how they're making decisions, and I open the phone line to you as well. We're live here in the studio on this beautiful sunny day in Tucson, Arizona, at our headquarters. The phone number is 888-888-1717. Love to hear how you as a follower of Christ maybe have made a decision in your life, an important decision. How'd you do it? Or should have done it? Or maybe you're trying to do it. Let's talk about it. This is a big deal. I've got a list of the top 12 here for you from Intentional Living on making better decisions. I'll tell you how you can get those as well. And the phone line is open at 888-888-1717.
When I face a big decision, how do I discern God's will? It's usually a matter of a lot of prayer, a lot of quiet time, a lot of waiting, a lot of patience, and you just keep working and working and just keep waiting on Him and leaning on Him.
I first pray about where God wants me to be. Is this decision going to matter 30 years from now? Is it going to make a difference in eternity? Or is it just pleasing me? Is it what I want, or is it what God wants?
When I'm making a decision on how to proceed, I do a lot of serious praying, contemplation, and some quiet time, and some waiting usually. My husband and I are in the process of a business consideration right now, and even though we take the time to pray and to wait and to be silent, just knowing how to discern His will can still be difficult, even after doing all of that.
When I make decisions that are important to me, I think the first thing I do is that I get with my wife and we pray together, because I believe her discernment and getting a confirmation from her is a big thing on me understanding what God wants to do. And then I talk to other people with wisdom that I have a lot of faith in, and it's just understanding that through the doors that He opens that we need to step through and make those decisions.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, Mike Krigilski made the statement that the truth is that many people set rules to keep them from making decisions. You know, is that the right time, or I don't have enough information, or I need to keep praying about it further and further. You know what? I think there are times as followers of Christ, we know what we ought to do, and we prayed enough, and we read the Scripture, and we know what we ought to do, we just don't do it. And because we have all these little rules about we want to be right, we want to be perfect, and that's not always the case. Here today, you and I are probably in many ways a product of the decisions we made or didn't make yesterday and the days before. That can result in bad financial decisions that were made, and now you're struggling with that. Decisions about a business, decisions about your friendships, a decision about your health, and these kinds of decisions kind of accumulate over time. And when we look at how to make godly decisions, let's be honest, it'd be helpful if God would come and write right on our forehead or on the mirror in the morning. When your mirror gets steamed up from the shower, God's direction for the day would be there. And it's not always that way. In fact, I've never had that experience. It takes understanding the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors. Making discernment in terms of what does the Scripture teach? What are the consequences when it comes to making decisions? So come on in and join us today. Got a question, or how do you make decisions intentionally? 888-888-1717. Delfino's on the line in New Mexico. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing amazing. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, I'm glad you called. What prompted you to call about decisions today?
I'm actually on my lunch break right now, but I always have Family Life Radio on, and I just wanted to talk about my decision 10 years ago when I had my my son Ezekiel was born, and I used to let fear kind of in my life and, you know, kind of distract me and control me. And that day when I held him, I told myself I was going to put all fear aside and I was going to trust the Lord's lead always and, you know, try and listen for the Holy Spirit. And it's been 10 years now and it's been a daily battle, but it's some of the best advice I ever took, you know, and I really do try and, you know, ground myself in the Lord and everything that he tries to give me and guide me through. I know he's there with me. And yeah, fear is a very ugly tool of the devil. And I always try to, you know, just push past it because I know on the other side of fear that there's beauty. And being a father for 10 years now has been a very beautiful journey. And I feel very blessed. And yeah, I just wanted to help anyone else out I can with that advice, because someone gave me that advice right when I was becoming a dad, and it really did change me. And I use it every day. You know,
How do you press through though? How do you press on? You said I press through the fear. How do you do it?
No, I definitely remind myself with his word every day, you know, different Bible verses, but I always hear the Holy Spirit just nudging me, you know, to what to do and how to get through any of the hard, difficult things that I've gone through.
Where is fear taking you? Where can fear take us?
Oh, it can take us right off our calling. It can take us away from where we're supposed to be going, you know, and it can inhibit us. It can disable us. It can keep us chained and bound. And I refused to let that be my life anymore. And I didn't want to be raising a little life, you know, with fear in my eyes or in our home. And I always try to teach my son, you'll feel fear, but you got to push through it and you got to ask God for the strength. And I try to teach my little guy that every day is not through our strength, but through his.
That's good. And so he's 10 years old now.
Yeah, he's 10 years old, my little Ezekiel.
Good for you. Well, hey, listen, I appreciate your call, Delfino. And I was thinking of that passage in Scripture that says, fear now. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear. So if you've wrestled with fear, and by the way, we all do at some point. Delfino recognizes it was a weakness, something he struggled with and struggles with in his life. And many of us do. But that's not from God. God's not given us a spirit of fear. By the way, God may give you a spirit of wisdom not to walk out in front of traffic. God may give you a spirit of saying, hey, I need to take care of my body. God may give you wisdom when it comes to certain things in your life, okay? So there's a difference between fear and wisdom here. Wisdom is something that we need to learn from. We got to be smart. There's something different between being smart and being fearful. Fear is a liar, one of the songs that we play on the radio. Fear, you're a liar. I like it because it's a powerful reminder that fear can do really, like Delfino said, it can just sidetrack us, pull us right off of making a decision. Like I said in that quote that came in, many of us have these rules that we've set for keeping ourselves from making decisions, and one of them can be fear. The Bible says, as I started to quote, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but here's a little triad, power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Power of the Holy Spirit, right? Love of God, love of other people. Love is a powerful force, and then a sound mind. And the Bible speaks much about that. All right. Very good. We're taking a quick break. How do you make decisions? Maybe you're trying to make one today, looking for some input. Let's talk. You're going to become the product of the decisions you do or don't make today. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
When dealing with an emotionally weak person, enter and exit conversations gently. That's a really practical thing to share with you. Because you're dealing with a person who's not going to take a lot of agitation when you want to talk to them about something. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have relationships with people that you can push a certain button with a word that you say or the way that you communicate and just blow this whole thing up. And it's important to understand what doesn't work with an emotionally weak person. Number one, confrontation is not always the best thing with an emotionally weak person. I'm gonna go set them straight, or I'm gonna confront them. Some people love it that way. There's some people, just tell me, just come at me, I'm okay, I can deal with that. Other people, you can't.
You know, that's an excerpt from a teaching that'll be an encouragement to you as members supporting the ministry. It's up on our website at theintentionallife.com. And you have an access code to that part as members. If not, let us know. We'll make sure you get that. For those of you coming to be a part of the ministry today, we'll make sure you get that code as well. Your monthly financial support very practically allows us to continue with our listener-supported Intentional Living Ministry, a part of Intentional Life Media. You can call, talk to our staff about that at 888-888-1717. Talk to me by pressing 1. Talk to the staff by pressing 2. And they're probably nicer people than me today. I don't know. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com. Today, maybe it's a reset. You're at a place you need to get reset to the factory settings of your life, what God's intention is, and it begins. I'll tell you what, most decisions you either have to or you want to, and the have to needs to be strong enough that you're frustrated enough to say, hey, I got to make a change, or the want to as well. If it's not strong enough, here's the reality. Most of us will continue on coasting in the same direction we're headed today, unless we step up and say, we got to make a new decision in our life. And I heard someone say this week, the problem with coasting is that you're going downhill. And that can be true in your marriage, your family, and your finance. Whenever we go uphill, and that's what we want to grow. That takes a little initiative, it takes decision, and then follow through. And so today, if you're struggling with a decision, maybe in your family, your finance, relationship, give me a call. Or how do you make decisions? 888-888-1717 is the number. Kathy, you are next from Kansas. What are you learning about making decisions?
Well, I'm 69 years old, so I've had lots of decisions to make. And I have found that decisions made rashly or quickly, for example, in the heat of the moment or from peer pressure at the time or out of anger or frustration, are rarely good choices. Emotional mm-hmm. choices are rarely good choices. But choices that I made because I took some time to pray about it, consider the pros and cons, and weigh them carefully with advice from a trusted friend or counselor or pastor, turned out to be much better decisions.
Yeah, was there a crisis point that made you make this awareness in your life, or just a series of realizing you're reacting to your emotions?
A series of bad choices as a teenager, you know, made me realize I need to do something a little differently. Mm-hmm. And when we were raising our kids, we have 3 kids and 11 grandkids now, but one thing my husband, who's a very wise man, always told our kids, it's not always should I live in city X or city Y or take job A or take job B or go to college XYZ or TCU or whatever the letters were. God is always after our heart. Mm-hmm. And why we make the decision is more important than sometimes those specific decisions.
Yeah.
Will that decision, like you have said, bring me closer to God and encourage my walk with Him, or will they pull me away from Him? And if we're careful with our decisions not to make them in the heat of the moment, they turn out so much better.
Absolutely. I think of that verse that talks about being slow to speak and swift to listen. Same principle. We'll say some dumb things when it comes from our emotions instead of our combination of our head and our heart. That's for sure.
Right. And, you know, the friends we choose to keep, if we look at some of the decisions they make, are they making wise decisions?
Wow, that's true.
If they're not, are they really the kind of friends we want to spend our time with? Because a lot of times during my life, friends have come and gone. But the decisions that I make when I'm with those friends sometimes impacts a lifetime.
Oh, wow. That's really true, Kathy. That's a lot of wisdom there. You and your husband passing that on to the next generation, helping our kids make decisions. I've sort of taken the approach that in life, you're never going to be 100%. Because even here in the staff, we were talking about, as followers of Christ, is God in this decision or not in this decision? We pray about it. Then sometimes we talk about getting a green light. And many times it's just the light never comes on. It's like it's burned out. You're waiting, you know. And we continue to follow what God's direction is, reading His Word, getting good counsel, praying about it. But there's a point in the process where you can wait too long. And I sort of take the approach, there's a point where you get about 80% of all the information you're ever going to get when it comes to some decision you're making. You've prayed about it. There's a point where you have to step out by faith and say, God, I'm going to step out. And if you're not in this, please make it clear before I fall off the edge here.
Right.
And so there's a point of getting, there's clarity in movement. There's clarity in action. There's clarity in actually stepping out and doing that next right one thing and trusting God in the process. All right, I got a top 10 list on making decisions. It's on our website. I'll go through some of them and then tell you how you can find it for yourself. Very practical list we call intentionals. When you're looking for wisdom, as it says in the book of James, you need wisdom, ask of God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So it begins with Him. All right, let me get back to the calls.
Exactly.
Beth is on the line. Hi, Beth.
Thank you.
Hello, Beth. Are you there? Hello,
yes,
Beth.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Beth, welcome to the show. This is Randy.
Hello there, Randy. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you
for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
My son won't go back after the holidays here and finish his 9 credits to graduate from high school. And he was talking about GED, and he's like, oh, it's too expensive, and he thinks he can be his own boss without any diploma or piece of paper in his hand. And I'm trying to figure out, do I, like, even actually right now today, like, do I go in there and write him and talk to him, or do I write him another letter? So I'm, you know, the fear thing I heard a little bit, like, yeah, I'm afraid to, like, say, kick you out, because he's always saying, well, you know, you can just kick me out. And I say, you know, the door's always open.
Beth, wait. I want to ask a question. Why do you think he doesn't want to go back? Is he failing in school? Is he failing in relationships? What's going on? Why doesn't he want to go back for 9 credits?
I think he has a girlfriend that is not, that dropped out, that this, that. And I think he's around some bad role modeling.
Okay.
And he doesn't see, he thinks school is a waste of time. It takes up too much of his time to do his job, to make money, to sleep, to eat, play his video games. Yeah, he just turned 18.
All right. Is he working?
Yes, he is. He loves to work and make money.
All right, so he's working and making money.
He'll sell computer parts, mini bikes. He's like a wheel and deal. I'm like, well, geez, maybe he can flip cars. Maybe he can do. But he needs a GED. He needs something behind him.
All right, Beth. If that were my 18-year-old, you're talking about should I throw him? I wouldn't. I'd go in there. I'd say, son, I don't agree with your decision, and talk to him and listen to him. But you're 18 years old now, son. If you want to be here and you want to drop out of school, and I don't support that decision, but the rules change now. If you're going to be here, that's going to cost you, let me see, let's come up with a rental fee. How much is it going to be to rent here and for food? And in other words, if you're saying you're a grown man now and want to be on your own and you can make money, then it's time for you to start doing that and behaving like a man would when he's out of school and he's got a job. In other words, I would hold him accountable for the decisions he's made, but I wouldn't do it by wagging your finger in his face. Because that'll be ineffective. Then it's sort of punishment. If it were me, I'd just say, son, I don't agree with the decision. I think you do a lot more in life. Finish your high school and then make a decision what you're going to do. This is what I'm seeing. But here's how the house is going to run. Here are the rules of the house. Now that you're a man, you're 18, if you want to be here, here's what they are, kind of a contract. But part of that's going to include paying your own way along the process. Because I bet he's not now.
Yes, I'm. Yeah, he does. he I told him, and I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm sorry about that. I told him, you know, hey, oh, you say you're financially secure? Really? Well, do you have $1,000 for an apartment? Do you have $500 for this and that? And don't forget about your car insurance and food. And then I said, you know, I said, it's expensive out there. It'd be like $300 here. And, you know, plus your $120 a month for your car insurance right now.
Okay.
And, you know,
and what did he say?
He's very good at paying, but, well, I haven't gotten, like, that was like about a month ago. And then it's like, oh, he hasn't gone to the GD. And so he hasn't really given me a final answer. And so I think I need to go and rehash that.
Where's dad? Like, where's dad in his life?
Not really there at all. Oh, his comment was, well, he gave up on school a long time ago, and I pretty much texted him back, and I said, no, I think you did.
Yeah. Well, Beth, listen, I know people who dropped out of school, and then later in life, the brain hardens up, and they get a new decision. They go back and finish up, and they've been very successful. We got a lot of people listening. You could tell the story of you made a decision at that point, regret it, but you look back and say, hey, it turned out okay, God blessed, and I made some better decisions down the road and got back on path. So it's not like the story of your son's life is written and over because he didn't go back to school. I think everybody listening would say it's probably not the best decision in life. I wouldn't think so for him. But what you can do is remember there's a difference between that little circle of control you have as a mom of an 18-year-old in your house and the circle of influence that you have in your son's life. And my bet is that your influence isn't going to be by preaching to him or telling him what he should do. It's going to be holding him accountable. You're 18. You made this decision. I mean, you can go out and check what apartment's going to rent and so on. I mean, you can go do that. Or you're welcome to stay here if you'd like. But here's what it's going to cost because now you can work. And I want you to contribute to helping with me and the cost here in the house. And so it's your choice. And like you said, influence of other people. Bad company corrupts, doesn't it? And for our kids, just talking to everybody here, when our kids and our young people have the right kind of people around them, it makes a huge difference. Really does. Okay, Beth, that's our input for you. Take a quick break. And we only got about 4 minutes left. I'll be back. I'll give you some of the list from Intentionals for making important decisions.
Is there a person in your life that's difficult to love right now? In Dr. Randy's teaching, Love the Emotionally Sensitive, you'll learn how to care for emotionally struggling people while remaining healthy yourself.
How do we love an emotionally sensitive person? We are to be long-suffering. We're to be kind. Also, we've got to be intentional. If we're not intentional in dealing with a person, you're going to get sucked right into the emotionality of the relationship.
Start your year right and support Intentional Living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special New Year opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. By the way, your support's making a difference, allowing us to do what we do here at Intentional Living every day. Thank you. And we need your help. We closed out the year, the end of December, about $32,000 behind, which is a big deal for our small ministry, behind what the goal was and the need. We don't borrow money and we won't. And so I just throw out to those of you who are looking for an opportunity to make a difference in the world today, to see people come to Christ and reach this next generation, to consider supporting the ministry of Intentional Living. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Just a final word there to Beth. Beth, as you're talking to your 18-year-old, make sure you're praying for him too. That's powerful. Just a principle. When you have a son or daughter or someone in your life that you love who's hurting, you need to be tender and soft. When you have someone in your family or someone you love who's being stubborn, Sometimes you need to have that tough love. And that's really what you're doing. You're showing your son the reality there that if you want to be 18 growing up and you're a man and you want to drop out, then what's next? What's the plan? And here's how I can help you. Hey, listen, we just scratched the surface on this topic. Let's go ahead and continue off air. We're going to record the calls and we'll use them next Monday on this topic. What kind of decisions have you made? What's a question you have about making a decision? We're talking about the power of decision making. Go to calling us rather right now at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. If you all go over to our website, you'll be able to put in the search bar, just put in the word decisions, and several great articles will pop up, including this top 10 list that I created of intentionals for making important decisions. Let me give you just four of them quickly. Number one is vision. Will the decision that you're about to make, whatever it may be, move you closer to a life goal or towards solving a problem that would honor God? You know, Paul says in Philippians 3, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. He had a vision, he had a goal, he had a direction, he knew why he was doing this, and he moved with passion. Here's another point. Does the Bible speak to the decision you're about to make? You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is the decision-making verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, it says. But in every way, submit to him. And then he will make that path straight. That's a decision-making verse. This one I put as number 5 on the list, common sense. Come on. Many times, will the results of this decision benefit others and myself down the road? You know, Proverbs 2 says, all wisdom comes from the Lord, and so does common sense and understanding. And we miss a lot of common sense today. And then one more, consequences. How will myself and others be affected by the decision I'm making? It's not just for me. The late Dr. Stephen Covey made the statement, while we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of those actions. You can find the entire list of intentionals for making important decisions at our website at theintentionallife.com. Phone lines open. Give me a call about decisions, a question about decisions, or a decision you made as we talk about how to be intentional. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen, our entire team. We love you guys. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.